Well, we're on the home stretch in Galatians. We are starting today on Galatians chapter 6. And Paul starts this chapter now as an application of what he's been talking about. And he really has two applications here. Speaking of the main outcome of walking in the Spirit, the main outcome is love, serving one another in love. And that will manifest itself in two ways. Chapter 6, 1 through 5, which we'll look at today, he talks about restoring those who have fallen, bearing one another's burdens. And then next week, chapter 6 through 10, he talks about how we spend our money. And those two outcomes of or the two manifestations or outworkings of the love that serves one another. So he says, chapter 6, let's begin here. In chapter 6, 1 through 5, Brands, got it? Would you read that for us, please? Okay. So he starts out and he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, if you're overtaken in a fault or a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And I think it's interesting, just to begin here, I think it's interesting and sets the tone here when Paul says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. So he sets the tone of gentleness here. And he does so right away by speaking of the brother's fall into sin as being overtaken in a trespass. Your brother has been overtaken in a trespass. And he rules out a couple of possibilities here. He's not talking about the person who obstinately and defiantly continues persistently in sin. He's talking about the brother who is pressing on, who's in the race, who is endeavoring to walk in the Spirit, and he foolishly stops. He stops walking in the Spirit. And he's overtaken by his sin. And this is really a picture and a reminder of the point that Paul made earlier here, that we're in a race. We're in a fight, he says, back in chapter 5, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We're in a fight. And the image here is the race that Paul uses that imagery in 2 Timothy and elsewhere. So we're in the race. And if you stop walking in the Spirit, you're going to be overtaken by your sins. You're going to be overtaken by your sins. And when that is the case, he says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. When your brother is overtaken in that sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And I think that there's another verb there that's pretty important. Because, well, when our tendency
when a brother is overtaken in a sin, is not, right off the bat, to restore them. First of all, we're not usually, or naturally, if we're not inclined to concede that they were overtaken in the sin. We would normally describe it a little differently, right? We would say, well, you know, that lazy so-and-so, they just are out there, and they deserved it. What do they expect to happen? Right? And so now, they made their bed, they can just lie in it. Too bad. Right? So, but Paul has here he exhibits his pastoral heart. He exhibits his pastoral heart. And he bids us to do the same. To have this mindset in ministering to one another. If a man is overtaken in a sin, restore him. Restore him. He doesn't say, chew him out or buck him up or shun him or anything else here. He says, restore him. If a man is overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And this is the contrast here between those who are not walking in the Spirit, who are not availing themselves to those means of grace, who aren't walking each day in the Word and in worship. Okay? He contrasts that sort of person with those who are spiritual, those who are walking that way. And as we learned earlier, when we looked at this, the whole idea of walking in the Spirit, this is something we have to do each day. So today you may be the spiritual one. Tomorrow, and this is what he's going to get at in the rest of this verse. Tomorrow you may be the one in need of restoration, and that's why he bids you to do this with humility, considering the fact that you also may be tempted. So he's contrasting the one who's not walking in the Spirit, who's overtaken with sin, with the one who is walking in the Spirit, who is spiritual, and he says, you spiritual ones, you who are walking in the Spirit, restore the one who's fallen. Now, this word restore is also an interesting word here. It's the same word that it means to perfect, or to complete, or to fulfill, or to mend. So when Jesus found the apostle, found his disciples, they were restoring their nets. It's the same word. They were mending their nets. That's what they were doing. That's a great picture of what Paul wants us to do here. He wants us to mend the body of Christ, to restore it, to fix the nets so that they can be useful again. If you look over another use of this word, we're going to look at a couple of uses of this word restore, because it's pretty important. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. Wesley, you have that? Ephesians 4:11-12. Read that for me, please.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Yeah, where's the word restore? The word's in this passage. Where is it? Which one? Guess. Anybody? Girls' table. Find restore in the passage. Elizabeth knows. She's whispering the answer to Evelyn. Which one is restore? Do you know? Can you take a stab at it? There's only a couple verbs there. Take a guess. Which one would you like? In Ephesians 4:11-12, Our word is in there.
Brad's got it. Which one?
Perfecting, yeah. See, the King James helps you out there, right? Because they say, for the perfecting of the saints. And the New King James says, for the equipping of the saints. But it's the same word. For the mending of the saints, for the restoring of the saints. And this is very interesting because Paul almost in this passage equates the restoration of the saints with the work of ministry. Do you see that? He says, he gives apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. It's almost, in Paul's mind, it's almost the same thing. So this work of restoration, this work of mending, of perfecting, of lifting up a brother who has fallen into sin, is the main work of the ministry of the church. And it's a work of ministry that every brother is called to be engaged in. Do you see that? Everyone. He says in Galatians, you, every one of you, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you who are doing that, you who are walking in the Spirit today, you restore, lift up, mend, fix, perfect, equip those who have fallen, who've been overtaken in the trespass. All right, one more important use of this. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, chapter 3. And let's see, we want to read verses 9 and 10. Evelyn, would you read that for us? I bet you got it.
For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joys which you rejoice for your sake before God? Night and day cry on exceeding you, that we may see your face, except what is lacking in your face.
Yeah. Where's the word there? Now you're on it. On to it. Which one is our word that we're looking for? Perfect. Yeah. To and perfect or restore or mend or fill up to perfect what is lacking in your faith. And this is an important point because it brings us full circle in our doctrine of sanctification. How are we sanctified? How does it happen? What's the mechanism? By grace through faith, right? We're sanctified by grace through faith. And so Paul says, and that's Paul's point in Galatians, walk in the Spirit. Appropriate the means of grace. Because it's by grace through faith that you are sanctified, that your heart is inclined towards God. And so when Paul says here, in 1 Thessalonians that he prays for them night and day, that we may see your face and perfect, restore what is lacking in your faith. It's very, very interesting. Because we would say, when somebody falls, our tendency is to say, well, you know, what we need to do is we need to come alongside that person and we need to perfect what is lacking in his character. That's what we would say. You know, it's a character flaw. We need to come alongside that person and perfect what is lacking in his character. We need to buck him up a little bit, to get him a little more, get a little more discipline in his life, and a little more organization. And we need to perfect what's lacking in his character. And Paul says, no, what I pray for, what I want to do when I get there, is I want to perfect, to restore what is lacking in your faith. To restore, perfect what is lacking in your faith. And so, going back to Galatians then, we see that when a man is overtaken in a trespass, when one who is striving to walk in the Spirit, who is in the race, when he quits, when he drops out of the race, when he's overtaken by a sin, it's a faith issue. A faith issue. It's not a character issue. It's a faith issue. Because you're sanctified by grace through faith. And so the work of spiritual restoration is the work of building up your brother's faith. Building up his faith. And how do you do that? I mean, in a practical way, we want to give some feet to this thing. And I think maybe we have time this morning, we should stop here and think about this and talk about this a little bit. How do you do that? Because, you know, it says here, if a man is overtaken in the trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one. Well, it doesn't mean that you just go pat him on the back and say, oh, it's okay, everybody sins. You know? We'll let it go. Paul's not saying just overlook it. He's not saying, you know, just overlook the sin. Just slip it under the carpet and let it go. He's not saying that. On the other hand, he's not saying that you come up to this person and just beat him over the head. You slime ball. How could you possibly do that? You know, I can't believe that you did that. It's the worst thing I've ever heard of. How could you possibly bring such shame on the name of Christ and on the church and so on and so forth? You don't beat them over the head either. So there's somewhere in the between these two extremes, between overlooking sin and just sliding it under the rug and beating somebody over the head with their sin, there is this work of restoration. This work of restoration. And we know that it's focused on building up another person's faith. This is a faith issue. So how do we do that? How do we practically? When your brother is, and this happens all the time. Your brother is overtaken in a sin. What are you going to do? How are you going to restore them? What are you going to say? Let's make this really practical. What are you going to say to them? What are you going to do for them or with them that's going to build up their faith? Lisa. Yeah, well, that's what we got to come to grips with this here, so just so we don't leave it fuzzy.
Often behind our sin, or our failures, or our sins, there is a wrong way of thinking. Sometimes even though we know for sure that God is sovereign and God is good, in daily life, when we sin, it's because we don't trust Him to be sovereign or good. And so, and often the reason we fall is because we decide to follow Jesus in this because we aren't in the Word, reminding ourselves of what's true. So I would faithfully, and maybe you can do that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing would just be, in speaking them to them, not focus so much on what they've done wrong, but more on the wrong thinking, you know, building up their faith and their knowledge of God, and in different ways so that they are not as prone to sin in the future.
You bring up a couple good points, and I think one of the things that you bye Calvin, see ya. One of the things that I think you bring up is this notion that we shouldn't when we interact with our brothers and sisters every day, we shouldn't wait until sin has multiplied to such an extent that there's a huge, huge problem. Okay? Former governor or mayor of New York had this project called the Broken Windows Project. Is that what it's called, Dr. Spittler? The Broken Windows Project. And the thought was that if you got these punks right away, when they were breaking windows and spray painting graffiti on the wall, and you put the hammer to them right there with broken windows and graffiti, then you would prevent downstream armed robberies and murder. And it worked great. It worked really well. The crime rate went way down under his administration. And I would suggest that in the church, we need a broken, in our ministry of restoration, we need a broken windows project. We need in our daily interactions with our families, with our wives and our children, and with our brothers and sisters here, we need to watch for broken windows. Don't wait until the problem is huge. Look for broken windows. And then you can go in and do the work of restoration gently and effectively by exactly as Lisa has suggested, calling your fallen, your overtaken brother or sister to fix their eyes on Christ, to get back in the Word and avail themselves of the means of grace. Pray with them. Pray with them. Sing with them. Right? Sing with them. It's a means of grace. Sing psalms. Rejoice. God's given us these things to do, and you can do that. It's the work of restoration to call your brother back to walking in the Spirit. And so I think that we fail in this work. We fail in this work. We just overlook sin. We sweep it under the rug when our brother is dour and grumbling and obviously not filled with the joy of the Lord. We fail in the work of restoration if we say, oh, well, he's just had a bad week. Just had a bad day, I guess. Just sweep it under the rug. No, right there, when you see the broken windows, you need to go in and do the work of restoration. That's when it can be most effective. That's when it's easiest to be gentle. Because we've all been there. We all go to that place. But if you just ignore it, if you just sweep it under the rug, then the work of restoration gets worse and more difficult to do, because the longer a brother or a sister neglects to walk in the Spirit, the more hardened they become in the ways of sin, and eventually they're not just overtaken in a sin, they're habitually walking in a sin. And the work of the restoration becomes hard. So watch for broken windows. Watch for those little signs in your children's lives, or in your husband's or wife, or your brother or sister's lives. Watch for broken windows. And
And remember that if the window's broken, it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Not a character issue, a faith issue. Call your overtaken brother back to Jesus. Help them lift up their eyes to see Christ, to worship Him, to praise Him. That's the work of restoration. And Paul says, do this in a spirit of gentleness.
Are we still on that?
We are still there. We're still there for as long as you want to stay there, Bruce. Yeah, well, I was thinking about it, but only for half a second there until I saw your hand.
I was thinking that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And when we show that goodness to the person that involved, what we tend to do is we tend to become an amateur Holy Spirit and try to chastise and shame them into straightening out. But it's actually the other way around. It's showing how that God's goodness to them is continuing to flow there by the body of Christ being good to them, by still fellowshipping with them and embracing them and encouraging them.
That's a great point, and I love that amateur Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we're not supposed to do. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He's the one who convicts your brother that he's been overtaken in a sin. And we're the ones who restore him. Simon?
What's the thing that he gets into the fact that he says he's spiritual? Does it seem there's a lot more people who are Christian?
Well, that's right. And I think he says that to very pointedly ask you to examine yourself before you attempt to engage in the ministry of restoration, and to say this is dangerous work, this is hard work, and unless you're walking in the Spirit, You're gonna fail. We'll see the warnings in a minute are very interesting. Brian and Mary.
Is it possible when he says you who are spiritual? I mean, this church obviously had some very deep divisions in it, and I've been in a church where there were factions, and those who were spiritual were going to lead the church in a certain direction, and it caused strife, and eventually this church disbanded. So I'm wondering if that's what Paul is addressing here, the fact that there is a faction in the church that has this misplaced spirituality, and I look over in Romans chapter 14, and it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. Let which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? He standeth or faileth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, like you said, it's God that is going to restore. Then I look over in chapter 15, and it says, in verses 1 through 3, we then that are strong, the spiritual, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
Yeah, and that, I think, I mean, that's a very, very good point and a strong admonition that we ought to heed. But I don't think that he's talking about that here.
The reason is, in Romans, the weaker brother hasn't sinned, or the stronger brother. I mean, this is a doubtful disputation. Okay, it's whether or not you should eat food or not eat food. Okay, and so he's talking about laying the burden of sin on somebody and saying, you, how could you eat that pork, you know, that you can't, how can you claim to be a Christian and eat that? Or eat that meat offered to idols? How could you possibly do that? That's a doubtful disputation. Here, in Galatians, he's talking about someone who really, really is overtaken in a trespass. You're right, the Galatian church was deeply divided, and there was a lot of pride, and there was a lot of anger, and there was a lot of sin. Okay? But he's talking here about real sin. And he's talking about the restoration of those brothers who have sinned. And the spiritual here, the you who are spiritual, he's talking about people, those in the church who have heard his admonition in chapter 5 and said, yes, walk in the Spirit. That's the path to sanctification. I see that. And I want to do that. And today, I am doing that. You who are spiritual, you who get it, who understand this, and who are pressing forward after that, who want to lay hold on that, you restore your brothers who really not who have been castigated because of some doubtful disputation, not those who've been pushed aside because of divisiveness over as churches split over the stupidest things, you know, the color of the carpet or whatever. Not because of that, but you who are spiritual, restore those who really have been overtaken by sin. So I think he's talking about something else here, but certainly all the sins that came from this terrible split and all the fighting that was going on in Galatia, all those real sins needed to be dealt with. Mary, then Lisa.
Well, I just wanted to ask
you,
there is a point that we've been to remind our brothers to fear of God, revealed standards as well. And of course, I mean, certainly in mercy and in judgment, but to have mercy because God is making us. And so we point them to God. But there is a time and place.
That's right. That's right. No, that's absolutely right. The brother, when you get to the work of restoration, you're dealing with a brother who has already been convicted by the Holy Spirit of his sin, and the church, and we are called. The church is called to lift to raise the standard, and we are called to discipline those who persist in sin, but that work is important work. It precedes the work of restoration, I would say. Lisa?
See that overtaking is sin, and
making very real sin, I may be very correct in my assessment that they're overtaken in sin, then it's really the burden on me first to check whether I am indeed one of those who are spiritual, who, if I'm being faithful at the time, because the danger is that even though there's very real sin in my brother's or sister's life, that my motives are going to be polluted by selfishness. And then my option is either to try to restore myself, and then depending on the situation, restore myself to a walk of faithfulness, and then I'm ready to go, or to hand off the responsibility to someone I know is capable of being one of these spiritual people at that time, and confronting that person with the least possibility of having, you know, selfish or self-serving motives. So in other words, unspiritual people can identify real sin.
Yeah.
And other people, yeah. So that we need to take care. I think it would slow our tongues and mitigate a lot of damage if everyone in the church always looked at themselves first and said, am I in a frame of mind and spirit to deal with this, or do I need to pray about it or work on my own walk first? And if it needs to be done finally, maybe I should go, let's say, speak to an elder or a pastor or a friend of this person who is in a better position to handle it.
That gets us, and we'll close on this point, because that segues right into this next section, this next phrase here, where he says, do this in a spirit of gentleness. We've talked about that a lot. And then he says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Okay? And I think what he's saying there, and it's interesting that all the warnings in this passage are aimed at the restorer. All the warnings are aimed at the one who would restore. And Paul really highlights the difficulty of restoring a fallen brother without being overcome yourself with pride. And so he wants us to consider this very carefully, lest we also be tempted, lest we fall into the sin of pride as we attempt to minister to a brother who's been overtaken. Well, we will pick up there next week. This is a new record. Let's see, we made it through two verses. No, not even two. One verse. But this is very important. I think it's very important. We'll pick up there next week with bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. We'll go get there next week.